Good morning.
Good morning.
The choir is awake this morning. So good to see each of you in worship. If I could draw your attention to our church bulletin, I'll mention a few of the announcements listed. We'll not mention all of those. Invite you to read those at your convenience. Also, take notice of the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to take that, jot down your information, pass it down the aisle. Once it's completed, pass it back to the center aisle, and they'll be picked up later on today. A couple announcements, like I said, that I would mention. We do have Grub Club coming up October the 18th. That's at 6 o'clock. We are going to River Birch. You need to sign up ASAP if you're going to go. I think there's about 10 spots left. Space is limited. Then I'll have to do some sweet talking. But if you want to go, sign up. I think we can make it happen if we have more than 10, but we'll see. Also, Fall Festival is coming up October 31st, which is going to be on Halloween night, which is a Wednesday night. I believe we're going to have hot dogs to eat, but what we also need is we need people to volunteer their trunks of their car for our trunk or treat. We ask that you decorate it up and have some candy there available to give the kids. If you don't have candy or if you're not very creative and need some help, talk to Jeff and the family ministry team, and they really just need your trunk. If you're willing and you to stand there, and they'll decorate it for you from what I understand. There's some awfully creative people. They'll come up with something. Talk to Jeff or somebody on the family ministry team if you're willing to help out for that October the 31st. Also, there's a prayer study starting October the 14th, which is next Sunday. If you would like to participate in that, that's going to be on Sunday afternoons at 4:30. Please sign up at the welcome desk. Also today, children, take note. There is children's time following our first hymn. If you're a guest with us today for the first time, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Our usher is going to return back down the aisle, and they have a packet of information they would like to give you. Inside that packet of information is a letter from our pastor, also a church newsletter, which is called The Highlights, which lets you know about other activities and ministries going on in the life of our church. And we just want to say thank you for worshiping with us today. This is a great day to be in God's house. It's a great place to be, to worship, to gather together. And as we begin worship today, our choir is going to come and lead us as we prepare our hearts for worship. Would you pray with me? Father, that's why we're here, because the things that you have done in our life, the things that you are actively doing, the way you desire a relationship with us, that is why we're here, to gather, to worship corporately, but also to hear from you, Father. So this morning, speak to us, Lord, as we sing praises to your name. And as we eagerly await to hear from you, Father, let us worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good to see everybody this morning. I'll wait for Miss Katie. Everybody doing okay? I need your help with something this morning. Everybody crisscross applesauce looking this way. Now, I need for you to, in your mind, I want you to think of your favorite story about Jesus. Your favorite story about Jesus from the Bible. Can you just name some of your favorite stories? The prodigal son. He teaches about the prodigal son. That's a great story. Great. What else? Some stories about Jesus. What are some good ones that you remember? Oh, when he saw Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus went up to the tree. What else? He turned water into wine, just blew your mind. What else? Let the children come to me. He loved kids. He loved children. What else? What are some other stories? Oh, let me see if... anybody know what this one might be? That's not me dancing. That is me walking on the water. That's one of my favorite stories, when Jesus walked on the water. What else? Can you tell me another story? When he got baptized. That's a great story. Dylan, what you got? That's all right. Any more? The Easter story, that when Jesus was born. That's exactly right. Do y'all see over here on the table? You see over here on the table? When we have this, all this furniture that's out and these pretty plates, this is a special day. What day is it? The Last Supper. We call it communion. Or the Lord's Supper is when we get together. Sometimes we have the crackers and the juice. And Jesus, when he talked about the Last Supper, he said, whenever you get together and you eat this meal, remember me. And there are so many amazing stories about what Jesus did from when he was born. And the shepherds and the angels in Bethlehem. And then later the wise men came. And he grew up and he was baptized. And he went around and he healed people. He did amazing things. And then the Easter story. To remember how much Jesus loved you and me that he went to the cross. He took all that punishment for our sin and our mistakes. And then, not only did he take that punishment, he died for us, he was so powerful, he rose again. And he said, remember me. So I want this week, if you have a tough week, if you have something, I don't know if I can get through this, I want you to remember Jesus. And all the amazing things that he did. You will never face anything this week that you can't handle without Jesus' help. Remember. That's our message. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the amazing life that Jesus led here on earth. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for all the stories that we get to read in our Bibles about what an incredible man that he was. But not only was he man, but he was God too. And we have the same strength in us when Jesus comes and lives in us, we can face anything. And all we need to do is remember in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go to your seats now. Good job.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've shown us this past week. And as we sort of cruise serenely through our abundance, I guess our tendency is to forget or even ignore those not so fortunate. Wake us up, Lord. Get our attention, Lord. Remind us that complacency is not our mission here on earth. Use these gifts not to further isolate us, but to further your kingdom. Bless the gift, the giver, and the receiver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As we approach the table this morning, we come knowing that we are a sinful creation and that God loves us so desperately that he gave himself for us, and yet we fail him repeatedly. We're going to pray this morning a responsive prayer of confession. I'll read the light print if you will join me in reading the dark print, as we contemplate his love and our need for him. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, your love is beyond our understanding. You have known and loved each of us before our birth. You've been with us each moment of our days. In our moments of praise and in our moments of doubt, you have walked with us. And even on the days we do not strive to walk with you, you continue to walk with us. We are utter and completely loved. You have loved us on our best days, and you have faithfully loved us when we were at our worst. In love, you gave up all the glories of heaven and walked among us. Yet even in the face of miracles, we didn't know you. You suffered an agonizing, horrific death at the hands of your creation. It was for our sins you died. And even as you looked your rebellious creature in the eye, you offered forgiveness. We are utterly and completely loved. Your love overcame death, and you walked among your people again. And as you prepared to re-enter your kingdom, you challenged us to share your love, your self-sacrificing, faithful love. And because we are incapable of loving like you, you sent your Spirit. You strengthen us for the work you've given, and you carry us through the darkest of days. And even when we fail you repeatedly, you continue to nurture and grow us. We are utterly and completely loved. We confess this morning that we are nothing without you. We accomplish nothing without you. We serve you poorly, and often we neglect you completely. We love selfishly, and we give to others selfishly. We often feel like we deserve your love and others do not. We are poor representatives of your name. And even in our failure and weakness, your grace and mercy are strong. We are utterly and completely loved. Forgive us, Lord, for not acknowledging you in our lives. Forgive us for living like we are not yours. Forgive us for not seeing others with your eyes. Forgive us for not being ambassadors of your love. And help us to know and live out your love more fully. Amen.
I love the writings of the Apostle John, because John answered some of those basic questions in life that we have. And he does it in a way that is so clear, and he does it in a way that tells a story. In his letter that we entitled 1 John, he answers the question of, does God really forgive us? Does God care enough? Does he love us enough to forgive us? He writes this in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Very clearly, he outlines that God does love us enough. God has put in place a plan for forgiveness of our sin. Our responsibility in that arrangement is confession of sin, and that is often the point where we are most stubborn, because pride gets in our way. And we don't want to confess our sin, because the implication is what? We've sinned. Yeah, we're not right. We've done something that's wrong. We've done something that does not please God. You know, and so in our selfish pride, we try not to admit that. And in doing so, we withhold God's forgiveness, not vice versa. It's important to remember that he loves us so much that he wants to walk with us. He wants to lead us. In the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, the imagery of a good shepherd comes to mind. In the 23rd Psalm, we read how God provides guidance. He provides provision. He provides protection. He does all of those things for us, what a good shepherd does for his sheep. And Jesus, so that we were sure to make the connection, he lays it out there in John chapter 10, and John records this for us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And then a little bit later in that same chapter, as he's dealing with the unbelief of the Jews, he says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The nature of the sacrifice is so profound. We, I don't believe, are humanly able to comprehend it. But by grace, we are able to accept it and to give thanks. And so this morning, I think it's in that spirit that we need to come together as the body of Christ. And we've talked about this a lot as we've gone through Ephesians and as we began in James. We are the body of Christ that was left here after salvation. We are left here to complete the work that Jesus began. He was very clear about why the Spirit would be given to us. It is to complete the work that he began here.
And so we submit ourselves. We offer ourselves to Christ daily to be used by Him as His hands and feet, understanding that when we fail in our efforts, He stands ready to forgive us and to restore us, put us back on our feet, give us a gentle push and say, get back out there. You're doing great. I got your back. Go on. And so it's with that spirit of thanksgiving and praise and grace and mercy, all of these things, the love of God surrounds us as we come to the table because we understand the concept of sacrifice, even though we may not fully fathom what it took for the Creator to love us so much that He would willingly give His Son, and His Son would willingly lay down His life for His sheep. So we give thanks. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we come to Your table, as we come to a table of remembrance, as we come to a table that reminds us of the nature of Your love, the completely unselfish nature of Your love, Father, help us, challenge us, Father, to use Your Spirit to extend that kind of love, that unconditional, unselfish love to others. Others who may know You, but are hurting and need a fresh word. Others who may not know You and desperately want to know what the meaning of life is. Father, use us in a way that gives glory to You, not to us. And help us to remember daily the nature of Your sacrifice for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We offer open communion at College Park. What that means is, if you're a believer, we commune with you. You do not have to be a member of this church in order to share communion with us. I also offer a word of practical instruction, which I think has theological implications. Our deacons are here, and they are servant leaders. You have elected them as servant leaders, and I know them, and they have servants' hearts. And they will be serving you. So allow them to do so. What that means is the person on the end, they will come and they will serve you. And you can take from the tray. Then if you would, practice your servanthood and take that tray from them and serve the person beside you. And in that way, we put into practice a very simple concept, but a very profound concept of what it means to serve one another as we commune with each other and as we commune with God. Within Scripture, there's a lot of talk about bread of life. Bread of life. And so when Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you," as He broke the bread, no doubt the disciples maybe put some of that together. But as we've said before, I'm not sure they really understood the implications of all of this and what this was going to mean over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 days and really for all of eternity. But for us on this day, as we come together, as we hear those words echoed through Scripture, when Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you, take and eat," we can do so with a spirit of thanksgiving. So take and eat. So then we know He took the cup and He likened it unto a new covenant. And as we say so often, a new chance, a new opportunity. It's another one of those times when He said, "I forgive you," and gives us a gentle push to get back out there. But this covenant would literally be history changing. The world had never seen anything like that, never witnessed anything like that. The Son of God giving Himself willingly for his creation. Mind-blowing. But that's exactly what he extends to us. And so when he says, take and drink, do so thankfully. Scripture tells us that as they left from there, they sang a hymn before they went out. Why is that? I don't know. I think maybe it's because music has a way of expressing our soul's desires that we're unable to do with just mere words. And so they sang a hymn. We don't know what it was, but we know no doubt it was appropriate for whatever the situation was. And so this morning we're going to sing a hymn that we feel like is appropriate for this situation. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've witnessed in worship, what you've been led to in worship. And if that is a first-time commitment of your life to Jesus Christ, what a beautiful day to do it. I'll be here at the front and be glad to talk with you about it. Perhaps you say, well, I'm kind of in that spot of pride where I don't want to confess my sin because I don't want to admit that I've messed up. This is a wonderful morning to do that. Get that cleared away. Get that settled with God. Get back on track. Let him be the one who guides you. I'll be here to speak with you if you'd like, or the altar will be open. Certainly you can pray there, whatever your desire is. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, we'd love to talk with you about that. There's a lot of ways we receive members. Be glad to speak with you about that. So whatever your desire is, whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. help if I turn my mic on, wouldn't it? Following our benediction, the choral response, I want to encourage you, greet one another. I know we have some guests here this morning. Be sure and greet them. Will, good to see you back. And others that are here, family that are here, be sure and greet one another. Introduce yourself if you haven't met someone. Extend that hand of fellowship and encouragement as we go from this place to serve. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have given up for us. Father, we pray that we would be more worthy servants this week because we have been here in worship this morning, because we have had the opportunity to examine our own lives before you. Father, forgive us when we fail you. But Father, don't give up on us. Keep encouraging us as we seek to serve you each day. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.